Glory to God. Amen. Isn't that a precious knowledge? Take your Bibles out this morning and open them to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want to tell you right here at the beginning that this sermon is not about fishing. Okay? This is a sermon about Jesus and a sermon about evangelism. We're going to use fishing as an example or an illustration or a model. But Jesus is the focus and evangelism is the subject. And I want just to help you just right here off the bat not to be afraid of that word evangelism, because the Greek word evangelize is euangelizo, and it just really means to tell the story or to tell some good news. So if I had some good news, something good happened to me, and I told you about it, I would be euangelizo. I would be telling the good news. I'd be telling the story, okay? And that really is all it means. Anytime you have some good news to tell and you tell it, well, then you basically are evangelizing. And when it comes to Jesus, if you know Jesus, something good has happened to you, and so you do have a story to tell. Now, most of the time when we think of evangelism, if you put it in fishing terms, we think of people like Billy Graham, you know, or the modern-day Billy Graham, a young man, or he's not a young man anymore, but a guy by the name of Greg Lowry, who actually not quite the place of prominence that Billy Graham had as an evangelist here in the United States, but he holds these great large crusades. A couple of months ago, he was up in Arlington at the Cowboy Stadium there, and filled it up with people listening as he preached the gospel. Thousands and thousands of people were saved. And that is a legitimate form of evangelism. If you were to equate it with fishing, that type of evangelism would be like a big trawler or a big boat that would go out and throw its net out and then draw it in and catch thousands of fish. And that certainly is a legitimate form of fishing. But you know, another legitimate form of fishing is a little boy with a cane pole and a string on it with a hook on the end and sticking it in the water and catching a perch. That is also fishing. And so evangelizing is thousands of people coming to Christ whenever an evangelist preaches, but it's also just one person telling somebody else what Jesus has done for them. In fact, anytime you tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life, you're actually evangelizing. You're telling the good news. And the scripture says that each one of us are called to do the work of an evangelist. In fact, in the very last book that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, and he's kind of laying everything out for his young protege, he says, "As for you, be serious about everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." In other words, I want you to be telling people about Jesus. And he shares that really with all of us. The call to follow Jesus is the call to tell the good news, to tell the story. Now, when Jesus walked on this earth, and really early in his ministry, he exploded on the scene. And he was baptized, the windows of heaven opened up, the Spirit of God came down and resided on him, and he went town by town preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as he went about, he saw those that he was evangelizing, and he called them to be with him. And the passage of scripture we're going to read this morning in Matthew chapter 4 is an example of that call. And beloved, I want you to know that every last one of us, every person, has got to hear this call of Jesus and respond in the same way. Because he's still calling people to himself. He still says, "Hey, come follow me. I'll make fishers of men." okay? That's what's happening here. But I want you to understand, this is not just an ancient story about a guy who walked along and asked some people to, you know, to come and, you know, hang out with him. This is a very modern day story that is happening today. Even as Jesus passes through this place, he's calling out, hey, why don't you come on with me? Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We're going to pick up the text in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. When he heard that John had been arrested, he, this is Jesus, withdrew into Galilee. He left Nazareth behind and went to live in Capernaum by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the sea road, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And for those living in the shadow land of death, light has dawned. Now, Matthew here is quoting Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And he's quoting that as a description or an illustration of what was happening when Jesus came. All right, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And verse 17 says, from then on, Jesus began to preach. And here is the content of his message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And I just want you to get this picture in mind. Here is Jesus, and he's preaching, and the crowds are gathering around. And he continues on from town to town. But in every place he goes, he sees people like we're going to read about right here. Okay, beginning in verse 18. Now, as he walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I'll make you fish for people, or I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately, there's a play on words going on there. And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news. What was he doing? He was evangelizing, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then the news about him spread throughout Syria. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Because when you share good news, it's attractive to people. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So Jesus was passing by as he was evangelizing, as he was preaching the good news, and he called out to a couple of guys who were there, Peter and Andrew, his brother. Scripture tells us they were fishermen. They were casting their nets. And Jesus said, follow me. Now, the play on words here is, since they were fishermen, he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay, now the reason that's significant and the reason I emphasize that is because some of us might say, well, I'm not a fisherman, so he must not be talking to me, right? Well, what you could do actually is you could put your vocation in there. I mean, maybe today if he were talking to you and you're somebody who works down at the power plant, he might say to you, hey, follow me and I'll show you how to light up the world, right? Or I'll show you how to bring power to this world. If he was calling you and you worked in the plants, you know, maybe one of the chemical plants or something, you know, maybe engineering stuff or pipe fitting, he might say to you, follow me, and I'm going to show you how to engineer people's lives. I'm going to show you how to fit people's lives together just like a pipe fitter. I mean, that might be. I mean, you could put your vocation in there, okay? Jesus, when he calls, he makes it very personal, and that's just what we're seeing here. There were some fishermen, and he said, follow me, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show you how to catch people. I'll show you how to catch men. Beloved, it was a radical call for these guys. The call to follow Jesus meant that they were going to have to leave everything behind. Because you can't stay where you are and go with Jesus at the same time. And what you see here is a radical obedience on their part. I mean, you know, he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So they left their livelihood behind. They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their family. It was a radical call and it was a radical followership. And beloved, you and I think we need to understand that when Jesus calls us to himself, it's life-changing. It's radical. The call is to go from where you are to go with Jesus and let him lead your life, let him control your life. What I want to talk to you about this morning is fishing. Not fishing. I want to talk to you about evangelism, because this is the call for each one of us. Because if you're following Jesus, you're going to be fishing. You're going to be evangelizing. And I want to take that illustration or that example of fishing. Again, if Jesus were talking to nuclear workers, we might be talking to something else. Or if he were talking to plant workers, maybe something different, okay? But he was talking to fishermen. He uses the illustration of fishing. So we're going to use it this morning. And I just want you to think with me in fishing terms, okay? When it comes to evangelism, in fishing terms, what does it take to be a fisher of men, or a fisher of people, a fisherman, okay? What does it take? And there's a couple of things we're going to need if we're going to follow Jesus in this way, okay? First of all, we need a license. I mean, think of that. If you're going to go fishing, you need a license. And the reason you need a license is because the state owns the fish, right? So a license to fish actually gives you the authority to catch the state's fish. Now you might not like me saying that the state owned the fish, but just go out there and try to fish without a license. And when the game warden comes along and he's looking at your fish and he says, well, show me your license. You don't have a license, then you're going to start losing stuff. You're going to start losing like boats and fishing tackle and money and those type of things, all right, if you're fishing without a license, okay? So a license gives you the authority to catch fish. Well, what gives you the authority? What gives you the right to share the good news, to be a fisher of men, or to share Jesus with other people? Well, Jesus, in calling these men, he said, I tell you what, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. What Jesus basically was saying was I'm the one that has authority. Now, where in the world did Jesus get that authority? Because if he had it and he passed it on to others, okay, then it's legitimate. We can do this. But where does the authority come from? Well, as you look through Scripture, you're going to find out that God himself says that everything belongs to me. In fact, all the way back in the book of Job, in the Old Testament book of Job, God is speaking to Job, and he says, everything under heaven belongs to me. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago when I talked to you about the way the adversary or the devil, you know, tries to tempt us, tries to trick us. And when he was tempting Jesus, what did he say? He said, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the things of this earth. And I remember I asked the question at that time, if Jesus had done that, then would he be the Lord of this earth like the devil is today? And the answer is no, because the devil's not the Lord of this earth. The devil doesn't own anything. He can't give anything to anybody. He's a liar. He's a trickster. It belongs to God. God himself has claimed it. He created it, and it's his. And he says, everything belongs to me. And then in Matthew chapter 28, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, all authority, in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, Jesus said. In other words, God the Father gave it all to Jesus, and what Jesus does is he says, I'm going to give you the authority to fish. When somebody says to you, what gives you the right to think that your way is right and so you need to tell everybody about Jesus? What gives you the right to share your faith? What gives you the right to be a witness for Jesus? Well, what gives you the right or the authority is Jesus himself, because he says, I've got it and I'm going to lay it on you. Jesus is our license to fish for men. He calls us to himself to follow him, and he gives us the authority. All right? So that's the first thing. If you're going to fish, you need a license. And Jesus says, I'm your license to fish. Second thing you need if you're going to go fishing is you need passion. You need passion. You know, all successful fishermen love to fish. They might not like fish. They may, or they may not even like to eat fish, but they love to fish. And you don't have to be around them very long. You're going to find that out because they're going to be telling you about their boat, and they're going to want to show you their boat and their fishing tackle, and they're going to show you pictures of the fish that they caught, and, you know, it's this big and all these fish. I mean, you know, fishermen love to talk about fishing, and they love to show pictures. And they're going to talk about every aspect of fishing except where they fish, because they don't want to give away, you know, where their honey hole is or where their honey spot is, right? Because you might then want to go and catch all their fish, right? But they're going to tell you all about fishing. They have a passion for fishing. Successful fishermen love to fish. Successful witnesses for Jesus are passionate about sharing Jesus. Now, where does that come from? Where does it come from? Because honestly, for most of us, we're going to say, well, you know what? That really is not my passion. Hold on to that for just a second. But you know, you take these fishermen here, Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they were passionate about fishing, right? That was their livelihood. I mean, they knew all about fishing. Then Jesus came along, and evidently they had heard him preach, and maybe they were some of the ones there in darkness, and they'd seen that great light. Jesus came along and said, "Follow me." And they began to follow Jesus. And you know, if you ask yourself, why in the world would somebody like that leave everything behind and follow somebody like Jesus? The answer has to be love. I mean, somehow, some way, they had fallen in love with Jesus. And we might not like to think about it in those terms, because love in our day is kind of a, sometimes it's kind of weird, you know, especially if you talk about a man loving a man, right? But these men loved Jesus. They wanted to be where Jesus was. They wanted to be like Jesus. They were passionate about Jesus. Were they passionate about catching fish? No. Were they, about catching men? Were they passionate about evangelism? No. But they were passionate about Jesus. Somehow, some way, Jesus had captured their hearts, and they had fallen in love with Jesus. So they began to follow Jesus. And you know what happened? It wasn't too long, but here they are following Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, when you're in love with Jesus, pretty soon you develop the passion that Jesus had. Do you know what Jesus' passion was? You know, scriptures tell us. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man," he's speaking of himself, "came to seek and to save that which was lost." Why did Jesus come to this earth? He came to seek and save that which was lost. What was the passion of Jesus? You know, you can see this as you just watch Jesus walk along. And I guarantee you, these guys, as they spent all of that time with Jesus, they're walking along. And here's somebody that they wouldn't have given the time of day to, and yet Jesus is turning aside, helping him out. Here's somebody else that's sick or lame or blind or whatever, that everybody else is just walking by. And there's Jesus stopping. Here's a sick woman that people wouldn't let within a country pole's length with them, you know, a 10-foot pole. They wouldn't let her that near them, and yet here is Jesus, and she's reaching out and grabbing a hold of Jesus, and she's being healed. You know, Jesus had a passion for people. And you know what? As these men, they spent time with Jesus, they developed the same passion that Jesus had for people. You certainly see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. He said it himself in Romans chapter 10. He said, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation." You know, before that, Paul was a persecutor. Paul didn't care about anybody's salvation. He cared about seeing people do what he thought they ought to do. And then he met Jesus. And as he walked with Jesus, he developed the same passion that Jesus had to seek and to save that which was lost. And it changed literally the course of his life. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you passionate about? I mean, honestly, what gets you stirred up? What do you like to talk about? I mean, you know, you see this, and I don't know everything about everybody, but I know about guys. When you get guys together, you know what they're going to talk about? They're going to talk about sports. Let's just be honest. Some of us are more passionate about the Astros or the Texans maybe or something else than we are about Jesus. Because that when we get together, that's what we're going to talk about, right? Some of us, when we get together, we're going to talk about our jobs or we're going to talk about our grandkids because we're passionate about those things. You know, it's not wrong to be passionate about stuff. If it's wrong to be passionate about grandkids, then I'm the worst sinner, I suppose. I just wonder, are you passionate about Jesus? Because you know what? Jesus calls us to follow him. And why in the world would somebody like me, why would somebody like you follow Jesus? The only reason is love. And you know, when you spend time with Jesus, what's going to happen is you're going to become passionate about the things that he's passionate about. You know, in looking at my own life, and listen, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else except myself. When I got one finger going that way, I got three coming back this way. But you know, must break the heart of God that I can get upset about what somebody in Washington has to say, and yet it doesn't get me upset that people every day are slipping off into a Christless eternity, and I don't even give them a second thought, because I'm just not passionate about the things that Jesus is passionate about. My gut feeling is that I'm not passionate about the things that the one that I claim to be following, the one I claim to love, if I'm not passionate about the things that he's passionate about, it's probably because I'm not following close enough. So what I need to do is I need to get on up there closer to Jesus. I would just ask you that question this morning. What are you passionate about? You see, if you're going to be a fisher of men, you've got to have a license. You've got it. Jesus says all authority is given to me, and I'll give it to you. You got to be passionate. Then the last thing, let me just mention this. You got to have a plan. Now, if you don't have a plan, you're never going to catch fish. You're just going to get frustrated, and you're going to... You're not going to be prepared whenever you go. You're going to just keep floundering around. You're never going to catch any fish, right? You look at fishermen, successful fishermen. They got a plan. They know when they're going to go, and they know what they're going to take, and they know whose boat they're going to have, and the fishing poles and all that, what kind of bait we're going to use. They got everything ready, right? And they're even planning, what are we going to do with the fish when we catch them, right? They've got this plan all laid out. What is the plan for evangelism? Let me just mention a couple things. If you're going to plan to catch fish, you're going to plan to do the work of an evangelist. First of all, you got to go where the fish are. Okay? That is, you can't catch fish in your living room. Right? I heard a story about a lady who called up her psychiatrist and said, "Doctor, something's the matter with my husband. He's in the bathroom fishing in the bathtub." And she said, "Well, tell him to stop." And she said, "I would, but we really need the fish, you know." Well, you're not going to catch any fish in the bathtub. You got to go to the lake. You got to go to the. You got to go to wherever the fish are. You got to go down to the bay. You got to go somewhere where fish are if you're going to catch fish. You know, what happens is most of us, we'd like to see people come to Jesus. We'd like to see people get saved. We just think that somehow, some way, they're going to come knocking on the door of our house, or they're going to come knocking on the door of our church. Most of the time, if they knocked on the door of our house, we wouldn't open the door, right? Because that's the culture in which we live in now. But you know what? People aren't knocking down the door of the church saying, "Hey, somebody tell me how to be saved." If we're going to see people saved, we're going to have to get out the doors. And that means we're going to have to take Jesus with us. Remember, Jesus said, "Those living in darkness have seen a great light." And they've seen a great light because the light came to where they are. God is calling people like you and me, beloved, to go. I mean, isn't that the Great Commission? "All authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Go, therefore," he says. "Go and make disciples." Don't just sit in the church. Go. If you're going to catch fish, you got to have a plan, and the plan begins with going to where the fish are. Second thing about the plan is you need to understand how fish act. You know, a good fisherman is going to study the fish. A good fisherman is going to know, you know, when they're biting and what weather conditions and what kind of bait and stuff is best to use. I mean, he looks at all of these things. He might read some books and other things, but he studies fish. You have to understand fish if you're going to catch fish. And effective soul winners are those who understand people. Do you know what happens with most of us? In fact, let me just ask this question. How many of us, if you have been saved, you've been a Christian more than 20 years, would you just raise your hand real quick? You've been a Christian more than 20 years. Yeah, that's most people in this room. You know what happens to us? We get saved, and before we get saved, we're hanging around with all different kinds of people and sinners and everything. Then we get saved, and we start going to church and everything, and what happens is we begin to separate ourselves from all those sinners out there, you know? And we forget what it feels like to be lost. I talked to a guy not too long ago. He said, well, I've been a Christian all my life. And what I took that to mean, he never knew what it meant to be lost. Because in his mind, evidently, he never had been. I've been a Christian all my life. Some of us have forgotten what it means to be lost. We've been a Christian so long. And what happens is we hang around with church people. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I love God's people. I love to hang around with church people. But you know, sometimes if we're going to have the opportunity to share our faith, not only do we got to go, you know, to where they are, but we've got to understand, you know, what they're like. We can't be turned off, because not everybody looks like me. You know, not everybody wears a coat and tie. Some people, you know, got long hair, or they got beards, or they got tattoos, or they got whatever. I mean, you know, and I've got to be willing to step outside of my comfort zone if I'm ever going to reach anybody for Jesus, right? Because what happens to us is we can just kind of separate ourselves. Well, you don't have to grow gills, you know, in order to catch fish. And you don't have to live like a sinner in order to share Christ with sinners. But you got to go where they are, and you got to understand how they act. You know, not too long ago, it's been several years ago, actually, Cooter Browns down here was asking for, they were asking to extend the drinking time here in Brazoria from midnight to 2 o'clock, and led by our one of our councilmen at that time, Brother Roger Shugart, we were actually able to defeat that. We got people together, and so the drinking time stops here in Brazoria at 12 o'clock. But you know, in some ways, I really felt kind of convicted by that, because what are we saying to all these people? And there was a big part of me that wanted to go down to Cooter Brown's and just kind of hang out and meet those folks and just say, hey, listen, here's what's going on, you know. But I didn't do that. And you know why? Because I was afraid. What would people say if they said, well, you know, Greg Smith is hanging out down there at Cooter Brown's? Now, I don't drink alcohol, right? But what would you say about me? What would people say? Well, the pastor of First Baptist Church hangs out down there at Cooter Brown's, right? But how in the world are we going to share Jesus and win people to Christ if we don't, number one, go where they are and accept them the way they are, understand how they think? Do you understand? The one final thing about fishing for souls, and that is, you got to fish. If you're going to catch fish, you got to fish. Right? I mean, if you never put a hook in the water, you're never going to catch a fish. And honestly, most of us Christians, we talk a pretty good game about evangelism. We want to see people come to Christ. We want to see, you know, souls saved for the most part. We just never put a fish in the water. Put a hook in the water. Some of us say, well, you know, I tried that one time and it didn't work. But you know what I've discovered? That there's some good fishermen that get skunked when they go out fishing, but that don't stop them from going back the next time. Because they know sooner or later they keep putting that hook in the water. Sooner or later something's going to swim by, right? If you're going to catch souls somehow, some way, you got to fish. And anytime you tell anybody about what happened to you, you're fishing. But you know, when you invite somebody to church, you're fishing as well. When you invite somebody to your small group Bible study, to your Sunday school, you're fishing as well. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to put that hook in the water, right? I mean, what we're doing is we're using a lot of different types of bait. And that's why as a church, we do a lot of different types of things, like the Fall Festival coming up on October the 31st, in which we're asking Sunday school classes, hey, be bringing candy because we're going to have probably 700 to 1,000 children and their families come through the parking lot over here. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to share the love of God. In fact, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of God's people, if all the church people, whether you had kids or not, would come and just love on people and those people that you don't know that are coming in off the street and coming in from that community over there or that housing addition over there or the apartment complex over there. What if all God's people were here just saying, hey, God loves you and we love you too. I mean, you understand we're fishing. If you don't fish, you're not going to catch any souls. You got to put the hook in the water. And what I want to just challenge us with this morning is, are you fishing? The Apostle Paul said, I've become all things to all men so that by some possible means I might save some. And basically just what he said was, whatever it takes, I'm going to keep throwing those hooks in the water, whatever it looks like with all different types of things on it, just so that we can reach some people, because there's people out there that need Jesus and they're lost and they're dying and they're on their way to a Christless eternity in hell. And Isaiah said, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And Jesus said, that's me. But how will the people living in darkness out there see a great light if God's people never do share Jesus, if God's people don't evangelize and tell the good news about Jesus? This sermon's not about fishing. It's about evangelizing. Okay? Because Jesus is still calling people to himself today. He's saying, hey, I'm inviting you to come follow me. The closer you follow with Jesus, the more you're going to live like Jesus and look like Jesus. And Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. And I'm just asking the question this morning, are you doing any fishing? Father, I pray that you would help us today as a church, as your people, to get the boat out in the water. And Lord, to get that hook wet. Father, I know there's people all around us that are living in darkness, and they'll never see the light if we don't turn it on. So God, I just pray today as a church and as individual people, Lord, that you would just, as we follow you, Lord, draw us closer to you so that your passion might be our passion. God, so that our heart's desire would be the same heart's desire that you have. And God, that we just might see a great catch of fish for Jesus. Lord, help us in that today. In Jesus' name I pray.